This is episode 76 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, how to find the right Georgia nursing home for your loved one.
The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And that's Will Smith. welcome to the show. A lot of interesting topics on today's show. We have a guest. His name is Jeff Bird, who's going to be on. And we're talking about, for all those out there listening that have a loved one in a nursing home, how to find the right nursing home to begin with. And maybe if you suspect something's going on with the nursing home that your loved one's currently in, like where to go from there. These are the type of questions that we're going to delve into today with Jeff, and we're looking forward to it. Jeff, Will, my co-host, can you tell us a little bit about Jeff?
Sure. Jeff Bird, he began his professional corporate career in 1984 and moved into geriatric issues and senior living in 2003. He's had a wide variety of roles in dealing with the elderly, including executive director of geriatric care and consulting. He's got experience in senior living and care operations, arbitration and mediation administration. And he founded Bird Consulting LLC in 2012. And its purpose is to equip families caring for aging loved ones. He originally decided upon this after working with church families and felt called to enhance his role in helping those who are caring for the elderly. And with the support of his church group in Parkview Church in Lilburn, he founded Parkview Aging Services, and from his perspective, to further answer this call. And essentially what Parkview Aging Services is, we're going to find out on the podcast, but it's designed to help loved ones caring for the elderly find a good nursing home that fits for them and their loved one.
That's right, to make other transitions.
This is a highly necessary job and billet that he's created, so we're really happy to have him on board.
All right, Jeff Bird, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
All right. Jeff, we were just in your introduction, we were talking about your experience working with the elderly and the families of persons that are transitioning at that time in their life to maybe assisted living or nursing homes. And we talked about you founding in 2016 Parkview Aging Services. Can you, just from a broad standpoint, what does Parkview Aging Services do?
Parkview Aging Services was started just out of my realization that the adult children of families were coming into these communities that I was operating with just not enough information to really understand what they needed to ask the facility that was going to possibly be taking care of their mom or dad. And, you know, I loved working with seniors, and that's why I got into it, and I was kind of surprised to see how much of my time was spent with the families. And I really enjoyed that because I was able to answer their questions and feel like I helped them solve their problems to help them understand the care, help them understand our processes, and then, you know, be better able, you know, to solve problems and address issues. And so I started this with a different intention of being more of an executive coach. But in turn, a lot of old colleagues just began calling me and telling me their story of an event with mom or dad, and if I could help them, you know, through the next steps. You know, what are my options? Where can we go? I have no idea what to do next. They said it, you need a PhD to tell these places apart and compare what you're getting.
I liked that Elizabeth O'Brien quote that you had on there. I was thinking about it the other day because we have people call us from so many different places on the elderly care continuum that I'm like, I'm not really sure what this is. It's not a nursing home. It's not an assisted living facility. I don't know what to tell you. But it's very confusing, even for attorneys that only do this.
Right. And that's what I found in working in the nonprofit world and the for-profit world. You know, there were two angles that we went at it with. And, you know, in the for-profit world, you know, there's legitimate business models. But I felt like that, you know, there was so much pressure on the operators in a for-profit setting to fill census that, you know, sometimes we may have not always done the best job of describing, or sometimes the nurses are pressured to, you know, kind of stretch the care. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like in some cases, not in all, in some cases, the customer wasn't getting all the information. And so some of the marketers out there may not like me, but I tell my clients, you know, the brochures are beautiful, the chandeliers are shiny, the cookies smell good, and it looks like they're having a great time. And maybe they are, but maybe not. And what I want to do for them is, you know, do more of that digging into the weeds and asking more of the hard questions of these communities before a resident moves in, to ask the questions that nobody else is going to ask.
That's a perfect segue.
And uncover, you know, what I think is, you know, really the platform of which the care is going to come from. They may have great nurses, but if they're understaffed, if they're under budgeted, the care is not going to be delivered at the highest level.
That's an excellent segue, Jeff. So let's go through a hypothetical with you. You sat down with clients, and y'all, in through talking and communicating with the family and possibly the resident, a future resident, you've determined that mm-hmm. it's that placement in a nursing home is the best option, that is optimal. So you talked okay. about investigating. So what are the most important things that the family, or if you're involved, what do you look for when searching for a nursing home? Can you take us through kind of like your step-by-step of the selection process based on the criteria provided to you by the resident?
Sure. You know, first I do some historical information gathering because, you know, historically is a good predictor of the future, but not always. The industry's in an expansive growth mode, and so there's a lot of volatility. So I'm very concerned about real time. So what I educate them on is the fact that I need a real-time picture of what's going on in these communities before I'm going to recommend it to them. And so my typical client, one here in Gwinnett County, he was looking for a memory care for his mom. He was caring for his mom at home, and her disease had advanced to the point where he just really couldn't take the care of her that he wanted because it was becoming, you know, more than he could be trained to do. So we determined, you know, this is memory care in an assisted living, part of long-term care, would be the best provider. And we found three that, you know, on the surface looked like they would be good providers. And my job for this client was to go in to each one. And when I go in, I don't make an appointment. I don't schedule a tour. I just walk in, and I just start my tour. And if they can't tour me, I tour myself, or I'll find the first person to take me around the building. But I want to go in and find a real-time reality of what's happening there. And then the first thing I go into is staffing. How are you onboarding? How are you training? How are you evaluating? And how are you paying? If they will tell me that, how are you paying the caregivers? The caregivers are the bottom line of the care. And if I hear the typical $9 or $10 an hour, heavy part-time, little to no benefits, then I'm concerned that they will be falling into the cycle that many of them are falling into of high turnover and short-term tenures. And when the caregivers are not giving the best care, it puts more stress on management. And I've seen a management turnover, you know, as a result of that, because they don't feel supported. So I'm looking for a model of onboarding and training and promotions that is really going to provide stability and longevity of the staff. The second thing I do is I look at their compliance. You know, how have their scores been in the past with the state, with the health department? And, you know, nobody's perfect. But if there were some infractions, if there were some things, what are they doing? You know, tell me what you're doing about it. Let's not focus on so much the problem, but have you fixed it? Are you addressing it? And if so, good. If there's a string of infractions and there's no sign of improvement, then I've got a real concern. Another thing I look at is dining. You know, dining sometimes is on the brochure, but the questions I ask get more into the details of, you know, how much are you spending on each resident? And is that equating into a nutrition program that's got fruits and vegetables, not high sugar and salt, not a lot of junk food, not potato chips? You know, does the chef have enough leeway to really take care of them, you know, holistically? And so that's a big question I ask to make sure that that's part of their care. And also, if it's a memory care program, especially when I was looking here, I want to know what curriculum they're using. Are they just going to the internet and pulling off what looks good? Or are they following a certified program from TIPA Snow, from other of the providers out there that have really good programs, but it takes some training and certification of employees to know how to handle a memory care patient. So right. I look at that. So anyway, those are three things I dig into, and there's more.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good starting point. So Jeff, when you walk in there, is there generally a typical time that you find that you get the more honest observation of the nursing home? So, for example, is it, do you think that it's more reflective of the general care if you go in at 12 noon, 12 a.m., at, you know, 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday? Like, when do you think that you get the most honest assessment?
Yeah, I try to go in the off hours. Either I'll walk in very early as they're waking residents up and getting ready for breakfast, or I will go in, you know, after 5 or 6 o'clock when most of the management or full-time staff, you know, may have left. So I try to go in there when the rehearsal is over, when the boss is probably not on site, and that can even be weekends. Weekends are a big one, holidays. Just any time outside the normal 8 to 5 is when you will find something less than rehearsed and produced for your tour.
And so when you're walking in there, out of the several of the criteria you mentioned, three of the criteria, but the first one was you wanted to know about staffing, and you talked about what's the hourly wage. Is this information that when you walk in there during the off hours or whenever you know a loved one goes in there to do their own non-professional investigation, but how do you come by that information? Are they generally willing to give you their hourly rate? Is that something that, you know, do you get pushback on? How do you get that?
Yeah, sometimes you will. And one thing I also say in this is one tour is probably not going to be enough. It may be going back a second time to find that information, or it's, you know, finding out before I go. You know, who's the information I can get that from before I go in there? Can I establish the trust with the caregivers? And usually that's what I'm able to do. I'm not an intimidating person. I come in just as a normal guy and ask questions that don't feel like I'm a state inspector. So if I do get pushback, it may take more time, but you know, eventually I can find that out. And if they're happy, you know, they will usually say, hey, you know, this place pays more than my last place does. I have full-time benefits. I have a retirement plan. And, you know, just their attitude of that will tell me what's going on. So pay may be one thing, but, you know, how they respond to me in general is, you know, are they being well-treated or not? Or are they being treated like, you know, fast food, just roll them in and you know, yeah, hope they last.
Like a factory. So exactly. Jeff, would say then that it would be almost impossible to get an accurate assessment of a facility without visiting it in person?
To get an accurate, real-time understanding, you know, you can go off historical, and again, that's predictable. But in this environment today, in 2018, there is just too much change happening within each community to really trust the history. A real-time, I won't recommend a community strongly unless I've had a chance to go in there and see it that day.
Mm-hmm. We can all catch up to where you're at. When you say historical, when you say complaint reports that you review, where can the average person come by that information? Is it online, or are you going to the facility?
Yeah, usually the state Department of Health and Human Services within each state, like here in Georgia, it's the Department of
Community Health,
Community Services.
Yeah,
and so the inspectors come out, and you can go online, you know, to the state. You can go online to even some websites that they're called nursing home compares.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can find there is the historical information. I went on to the state website when I recently did an investigation for a client. And one of the beautiful places, you know, here in Atlanta that had for years had great scores and marks, all of a sudden in 2017, there was a 13-page report that, you know, just was horrendous. And at that point, I told the client, you know, you don't want to go here. So it does take some time to dig down, and sometimes the average web finder won't be able to get to it. Some of these websites are not the easiest and most user-friendly. So I've had to take some time to, you know, get the information, go to different websites. But typically the state is required to give them. But I can tell you sometimes the state is so overloaded right now with inspections that it takes them a while to post them as well.
Oh, sure. In our experience, we're noticing at least a 4 or 5 month backlog in terms of the most recent complaint being updated. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. But they're all required to keep their most recent inspection in an area at the front for a potential resident to read. So they're required by law to have it out there on the floor, their last two inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, they should give you a copy, you know, ask a copy.
Right.
They're required to give it. So
you had mentioned a little bit earlier when you're going through the tour of the nursing home about asking them about curriculum. Can you kind of dive a little bit deeper into that? Like if somebody listening to this wanted to do what you did for their loved one, what would they be asking for? Like what is curriculum and what's it used for and why would that be important?
On the memory care units. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'd be asking is, you know, what programs have they adopted into their company? You know, do they have their own that they've built off of other resources? There's a lot of resources out there. One of the most common, I think, that people know is called Tipa Snow. She is a very well-known researcher on dementia, and she does great presentations. Mm-hmm. Another one here in Atlanta that I really think a lot of is Caravita. They did training where I worked at. And, there was a whole process that they brought in. And, you know, I would be asking for some proof of that. They may have someone from California I may not have heard of, but if they can show me, you know, just the beginnings of a curriculum that somebody has written for them that I can go back and probably check, then I'm beginning to feel better. But I've walked into some where they just say, well, I just go to the internet and I just pull down these cute little things and we just have fun. Well, you know, that's great. But in memory care, there is a whole different requirement for the different stages of dementia that have to be addressed in their activities, how they actually care for them every day. It's it's an intellectual process that they have to understand if they're really going to help the resident thrive. There's a lot of survival out there, but I'm looking for the potential for that resident to thrive, to really enjoy those years, even when their mind is fading. And there is the information out there to do that.
Yeah, that's important. I'm glad you said that. It's not just about surviving and being alive. It's also about thriving. Just because you're 80 years old and you have a host of, you know, issues, being a human and being elderly doesn't mean that you can't still thrive and have a meaningful life. Just switch gears here for a second, Jeff. In addition to helping place loved ones in the appropriate care setting, what other questions do you find that family members of the elderly come to you with, and how do you respond to those questions?
You figured out the last second there.
Well, I'm asking, essentially, you know, what other questions they may have, or what other issues, you know, my mom doesn't want to leave the house, or my dad doesn't want to give up his car keys, or how do I get benefits for this?
Right. Yeah. Well, what I do at the beginning is I do an evaluation of the client. I have about a 18-question questionnaire that I begin with that begins to paint a picture for me of who the older adult is, who the family surrounding them is, what's the history of the family, you know, what was their occupation, what are some of the special things about mom or dad that I need to know, how are, you know, are the finances, where are they, you know, what can they afford, do they have long-term care insurance, do they have insurance for health beyond Medicare. So what I want to get first and foremost is, you know, a unique picture of every unique person who I'm working with. No two are the same. And from that, then I'm able to say, okay, based on what I see today, what I'm evaluating, and secondly, what are your goals? You know, what do you want to accomplish next? Why are you bringing me in? And what do you need to get to? And so what I do then is, based on all those things, I try to line up options. I'll say, you know, there is an option here for, you know, mom to stay at home. You know, staying at home is always possible. It's just a matter of, you know, formatting the house to be able to do that, scheduling the help. But the resources are all there. Is mom's income too low? Is it a low-income family that can't afford these nice places? And then we have to go into the nonprofit sector, more of the mission-based world, and then into the state, you know, the State Department of Aging Services, county services, you know, what are the options there for them? So there's options for every income level. It's just a matter of finding out, you know, what they are. And at the end of the day, I want to give them a strategy and say, here's three options, and let's investigate these, and let's see which one that, you know, you feel most comfortable with, and that's the one we'll pursue. And then that's when I'll begin more of my investigation. Okay, we want to go to this place. Do you want to have this provider? And then my job next is to logistically line that up, you know, to vet the provider and make sure that the provider I'm bringing in knows that I'm part of the picture,
right?
That there's an extra layer of accountability they're going to have, you know, with my client.
That's a good segue. Can you kind of, like, let's say that you've decided on the nursing home. What's logistically involved in the move of the family member into the nursing home facility setting?
Yeah, that's a big one. First thing I say is, you know, for a move, whatever size or whatever's going on, if you're going to use any kind of a service, a moving service or an organizing service, you know, first of all, use the services that are out there. Don't try to do this yourself. It can be an overwhelming process. And there are senior certified movers. There are senior certified downsizing real estate agents. People who are out there who understand older adults. They understand the issues of moving. And the goal is, the ideal goal in moving is to take mom from a very stable house where everything is in its place, and if she's moving to a community, having her walk into her new apartment or her new room completely set up. Take away all the moving and the boxes. The more you can remove that from the situation, the more successful the transition will be. Because the transition is enough on its own stressful. And just like children, you know, stability is always great. So you want the transition to be as comfortable and transparent as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once the move is done, it's also understanding the paperwork that you're going to be filling out to move into a community. There are state requirements. There are community requirements that many times I've seen families just rush through, you know, just to get mom in the building. Well, then they haven't understood fully what some of the house rules are, what some of the visitation requirements are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, taking the time to understand where you're moving into, what are the expectations of you before you move in. And, you know, the last thing is, you know, once that move is done or during that move, notify the friends and the family and her church friends. You know, make sure everyone knows that's in her circle that she's moving, because the socialization is a critical piece of her care.
Right.
And keeping those relationships in line is tantamount to, again, them thriving.
Right. I mean, that sounds about right. Jeff, I think we're about at the end of the show. So can you tell the listeners out there how do they get a hold of you? Like, what's the phone? What's the website?
Sure. My website, it's parkviewagingservices.org. And I'm happy to give my number on the air if that's okay with you guys.
Sure. We'll have it on the screen, but for the people that are listening, that would be effective. So go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. My direct number is 404-936-5746. And that's also on my website, parkviewagingservices.org. It is .org.
Gotcha.
And on the website, I've tried to put in there just all about me, what all I do, references for who I've worked with. So trust is a big factor here, and I have to develop trust with a potential client because this is a very important decision.
Sure.
And so I've structured my website to do that. And those are the best ways to find me.
Excellent, Jeff. Well, we appreciate what you do
and
who you're working for. And that's great. And we appreciate you coming on the podcast. We'll get you on some other time to talk about selecting nursing homes in the future.
And we appreciate your lifelong commitment to the elderly. And all that you've done in your different phases of life. It's really an underrepresented area of the population. So when we find somebody like you, we really appreciate the work that you're doing.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to doing more in the future.
All right. Sounds good. Jeff.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
All righty. Bye-bye. Man, he knows his stuff. I mean, he's been... I feel like there's so many angles to moving someone that's a family member out of the family environment into a different environment. I mean, like, there's got so many competing interests, desires, that kind of thing. He has to be a saint.
Well, he's done stuff for the elderly his entire life. I mean, he and his wife have participated in the, you know, Adopt a Senior program in East Atlanta. He managed a Kroger at one point that, you know, he helped start the senior discount program there. So, I mean, the guy has a calling, and he's meeting that calling, and it's really important.
That's right. Speaking of calling, I believe that the end of the episode is calling.
Okay.
So we hope that you've enjoyed this episode. Actually, if you're listening to this as it goes to air, which would be July 9th, first of all, I would like to wish a happy birthday to my mother, who whose birthday is on Wednesday, July 11th.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be 76, because we did 75, her 75th birthday last year.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be 76.
I would also like to wish a happy birthday to her, and I will probably post it on Facebook.
Mom, if you're listening, Will does not wish you happy birthday. When we were off air, he was like, you know, I don't like you.
I hope she has a horrible birthday.
Yeah, all these things. At any rate, also July 11th is... to be sure to go down to your 7-Eleven, and if you're in the South, we don't have 7-Elevens. I don't know where you would do this, but it's free Slurpee Day. Free Slurpee Day.
We do have 7-Elevens in Georgia.
Where?
They're not local, and they're very rare. There's certainly more in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
at any rate, go get your free Slurpee, yeah. Mom, on your birthday. Tell them it's your birthday. Maybe you'll get two. That concludes this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. You can listen to a new episode each and every Monday morning. You can either view it on YouTube, our YouTube channel, or at our website, which is nursinghomeabuse.com, or you can check us out, the audio, download the audio, or MP3, on wherever platform you get.
iTunes Puppy,
Spotify,
Stitcher Puppy. Stitcher Puppy, iTunes, Spotify for sure. Anywhere that you get a podcast.
Literally anywhere.
Anywhere. We're there.
Anywhere. Just you throw a rock and you'll hit our podcast. And with that, we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the hosts or the guests, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the hosts or their guests and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.